Amen. Let's take the Word of God tonight, and we will go to Psalm chapter number 51. Psalm chapter 51. Let me say a special thank you to this church, Fairhaven Baptist Church, for hosting the Empowered Youth Conference. And it has been a tremendous week. I've enjoyed being here with my wife and our family. My daughter, of course, is in college here, and my son is a senior, Caleb, in high school. And then Joshua is here, he's in eighth grade, so we're so grateful that we could be here. Thank you, Pastor Dammer, for the privilege to come. It has encouraged my heart, and God has used it to speak to my heart in a very special way, and I greatly appreciate that. I appreciate all the other preachers and the messages, and it has been a great blessing. I know God has used it to speak to my own children's heart. Tonight, as we come to this very last service, I believe the Lord has led me to Psalm chapter 51. I believe it is a very familiar psalm for each and every one of us, written by David. David is writing this psalm in reference to his repentance toward God. David is desiring something, and David wants one thing from the Lord. We begin in Psalm 51, and let's begin in verse number 16, if you would please. And later on in the message, we will go back and pick up the verses that we have skipped over, but I believe the Lord has led in this way. Psalm chapter 51, let's begin in verse 16. David says, "For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." And tonight, with the Lord's help, I'd like to preach on this subject, the blessing of brokenness. The blessing of brokenness. Would you join me in a word of prayer at this time? Father, I thank you for the privilege, Lord, to be able to stand here this evening. And I know, Lord, these precious people have taken time out of their busy schedules to come because they need to hear from thee. And Father, I pray in the next few moments that you would arrest our hearts and that Christ would be lifted up in this service. And I pray that we would be drawn unto thee. Lord, I pray that you would receive all the glory and the honor here. Lord, I pray for that you would bring results as only you can. I pray that you would give the increase in this service. And Father, if there are any people here, any teenagers, any adults that are without Jesus Christ, I pray tonight they would come to you by faith. I pray for young people that are not yielded and not surrendered, that tonight would be the night to where they would come humbly and broken before you. Bless this service, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I am sure that you are aware that in America, or in the world that we live in, that which is broken or damaged has little value. In fact, I read some time ago, back in 2006, that a man by the name of Nick Flynn, he was a BBC reporter, he was touring a museum in Cambridge, and he forgot or did not recognize that one of his shoelaces was untied. He tripped on his own shoelace, knocking over three very expensive Chinese vases in the museum, destroying them. They were valued together at $400,000. They were not of much value after he got done. I'm reminded in 2019, a man by the name of Tracy Morgan, he had a dream. His dream car, I don't know what your dream car may be. Sometimes that changes through our lives. But for Tracy Morgan at this time in his life, his dream car was to buy a Bugatti Veyron. So he went to the dealer, he had saved his money, and for $2 million, he bought his dream car. He got inside the car, drove away as happy as could be. 30 minutes later, he was sideswiped in a car crash, losing $200,000 of value for his Bugatti. Can I say tonight that most things, when they are broken, they have little or no value. But to God, when our spirit and our will is broken before Him, it is of great value. In fact, in Psalm chapter 51, I think you know the background behind all of this. Here is David. Here is the man after God's own heart. Here is a man that was greatly used to the Lord, but we know that David deliberately and with his own choosing chose to sin against the Lord. He tried to hide and to cover his sin. In fact, we understand in verse number 16 that David is saying, God, you don't delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, because it is indicating that David was continuing his religious activity, trying to appear to be a spiritual man. And David, no doubt, while he was going into the temple and making the offerings and the sacrifices, he knew in his heart that God did not receive that, because David said, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Can I tell you what I believe with all my heart that God is looking for with adults and for young people alike? And that is young people and adults that have a broken spirit before God. Now, I think we need to begin tonight with what brokenness is. I remember after I came to know the Lord as my personal Savior, and God began to work in my life, and I thank Him for His work. And there was a lot of baggage, there was a lot of things that were not right, and the Lord began to deal with me. But I began to think that brokenness, or if you want to call it spirituality, was walking around with a somber, downcast face, and that was true spirituality. But can I say to you tonight that brokenness is not, number one, it's not walking around with a dejected look and a downcast countenance. In fact, the opposite is true. When you are broken before God, it brings joy and it brings peace to the Christian life. Brokenness is not a self-focus where one is always looking inward to discover something that is wrong with us. That's why the psalmist prayed, search me, O God, not search me, O me. Because the psalmist knew only God could do the real searching. True brokenness is a God focus. True brokenness is bringing our attention, bringing our eyes upon the Lord and what He would have in our lives. Number three, brokenness is not going through a severe trial of some sort, whether it may be physical or financial or emotional. Some people think, well, I've gone through this and I have a grief-stricken heart and therefore I'm broken, but I've met a lot of bitter people that have gone through trials. And the trial has not made them broken, it has just made them bitter. Fourthly, brokenness is not an emotional experience. It is possible to shed many tears and not be broken. I found that out with my own children, you know. You take a little child, a child can get mad and a child can get angry and can even weep, but they are not broken. In fact, sometimes we think brokenness is just weeping or sorrowing. I do believe that often it does come with it. But what is real brokenness? Vance Havner said this, God uses broken things. It takes broken soil to produce a crop, broken clouds to give rain, broken grain to give bread, broken bread to give strength. It is the broken alabaster box that gives forth the perfume. It is broken Peter that is weeping bitterly, who returns to greater power than ever. God uses broken things. In fact, tonight I believe with all my heart that God will not use you until you are broken of sin and self in your own life. Brokenness. In fact, may I say to you this evening that you and I will never meet God in real revival until we have first met Him in brokenness. In fact, the Bible tells us in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. It begins with that humility. It begins with that brokenness. It begins when we come and humble ourselves before a mighty God. I've known teenagers that had great talents and great ability, but they were not broken and they were never used of God. They never accomplished what God wanted to accomplish in their life. Their will was not broken. They were not broken over their sin. And because of that, they never knew the blessing. Tonight, the blessing of brokenness. Number one, what is brokenness? Number one, brokenness is the right view of one's sin. Now, we're in Psalm chapter 51. Let's go back, if you would, please, to verse number 1. And I want to show you some things here. Now, think of David just for a moment. Here is David. He's a king. He has great power. Here is David. His image is very important to him. In fact, to David, David has tried to cover up his sin. He has tried to hide all that David has done before God. And the Bible clearly says, but the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. And David was not a broken man at this time in his life. And by the way, brokenness is not a one-time event. Brokenness is a daily walk. It is a daily lifestyle. It is continually being broken before the Lord. Oh, this flesh is so strong, is it not? Our will is so strong. I've had parents tell to me, say, boy, my child has a strong will. I've not met a child yet that didn't have a strong will. They might display it in different ways. But brethren, tonight, can we just admit before God that every one of us, we are rebels before God. And the greatest battles that we fight are not necessarily with other people. They are a battle with God. And where God is going to use and bless us, it's going to take brokenness. I encourage you to study the great revivals of years gone by. And I'm going to tell you what you'll find. In every one of those revivals, you will find people broken before God. But what are they broken about? Number one, brokenness is the right view of one's sin. We come back to Psalm chapter 51 and look at David here. Now, this prayer is real. This prayer is of a broken man. Notice what he says in verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Verse 2. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. And look what he says in verse 4. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. In the first 4 verses, I find David as a broken man. He is broken. He sees his sin as God sees his sin. Can I say that a broken man is quick to repent? A broken teenager, they do not seek to rationalize or justify or to excuse or to defend their sin. They are quick to say, God, I have sinned against you. Forgive and cleanse me. That is a broken young person. A broken young person does not seek to blame circumstances for their sin or other people for their sin or even God for their sin. They don't blame their upbringing. They do not blame the different things about their parents. They simply say, God, it is me. I have sinned. Forgive me. That's where David came. David said, Lord, it's my transgressions. Lord, it's my iniquity. Against thee only have I sinned. You know something? When brokenness, we have the right view of one sin. There's no more show. There's no more hypocrisy. There's no more worrying about my image or what others may think of me. We just want to be right before God. I remember as a teenager, I went to a Christian school. I grew up in a Christian home, but I was not saved until I was 17 years of age. I knew how to walk like a Christian. I knew how to have the Christian cliches. I knew all of that. But I would sit in my seat and I could listen to the preaching, but I was not sorry for my sin because I did not have the right view of my sin before God. You know what David said? David said back in verse number 16, he says, God, thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. I believe David was saying, God, if you want a sacrifice, I'll give it, but I know that's not what you desire. Thou delightest not in a burnt offering. David had given all of that with his heart, not right with the Lord, but he said, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. This word contrite is an amazing word. It means to be crushed to powder. This word contrite means to totally collapse. It is a man that has come where he comes before God and there's nothing to hide anymore. He says, God, I see my sin as you see my sin, and it is wickedness in your eyes. It reminds me of what the Apostle Paul said in Romans 7:24. He said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? You see, he was a broken man. In Luke chapter number 18, you remember when the publican and the Pharisee were there to worship God. You remember the Pharisee's prayer? Do you remember how haughty his prayer was? Do you remember how he told God about how many great things he did and how many times he fasted and how many times he prayed? But the publican came in, and the Bible says in verse 13 of Luke 18, and the publican standing afar off. He said, God, I'm not worthy to go up there. He stood afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's brokenness. I wonder tonight, where are the young people that they know they are not broken before God? You may have fooled your parents, you may have fooled your pastor, but you have not fooled an almighty, all-knowing God. You may think others have thoughts well of you, but you know in your heart that you are not broken. And where are the young people that will come and fall on their face before God and say, God, Lord, I want to be broken over my sin. I want to see my sin as you see it. It's a right view of one's sin. Take your Bibles, would you please, and go to Isaiah chapter number 6. And we cannot miss Isaiah the prophet, because here was a man who had the right view of his sin. Now, tonight, I want us to understand that brokenness is not just for some people. It is for all people. We might think tonight, well, yeah, so-and-so really needs brokenness. But folks, tonight, we need to get to the place before God that we say, God, I need to be broken. God, I must be broken. Folks, why do we not have revival? Why don't we have personal revival? Why don't we have revival in our country? I believe it comes down to we are just not broken. We think we're pretty good. We think that our sin is not as bad as so-and-so, and we just don't have the right view of our sin. How do we get the right view? Do we talk about sin? Do we name sin? I think that's a part of it. But folks, I believe tonight the only way that you and I can have the correct view of our sin is to have the right view of our Savior. That's what happened to Isaiah. Look at him. Isaiah chapter number 6, we begin in verse number 1. Isaiah the prophet says this, Isaiah 6, verse number 1. In the year that King Uzziah died. And I'm going to stop and say this. So Uzziah was a great king. And no doubt there was fear, wondering what was going to happen to their nation. But in the year that King Uzziah died, here's what he says. I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne high, and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I. Now notice what Isaiah the prophet said. He did not say, boy, it's good to be here. I'm telling you, God has been so good to let me be in this presence. No, that was not it. Then said I, verse 5, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. I want you to know something tonight. When you and I come into the presence of the Lord, through our reading of the Word of God, through our time in prayer, when we enter into His presence and we are able to come boldly into the presence of the Lord, when we really come into His presence, we see things about our lives that we will never see before. We see what we really are. Years ago, I was in a hospital area with my wife, and she had just given birth to our second child, Caleb, who's a senior this year in our Christian school. And I remember that morning, the night before, my wife had given birth, and it was a blessing. The Lord took care of all of that, and we praised Him for it. But that next morning, I was reading my Bible, and the Lord showed up in that hospital room there that day. He just showed up. I was reading a portion of Scripture about Nebuchadnezzar and his pride and his haughty spirit before the Lord, and how that God touched him and made him crawl around like an animal. And then his senses came back to him. And I remember in that hospital room, it was like the Lord pulled up a big old giant window and mirror for me. And the Lord said, Aaron, I want you to see who you are. I want you to see who you are. I want you to see how your pride is so ugly, your selfishness, your self-will. Well, I'll tell you something. I got on my knees in that hospital room. It was a sacred place. I was in His presence. And can I tell you what happened when I was in His presence? I saw my sin with the right view. It was sin against a righteous God, sin against a holy God. It was sin against the God that gave His Son, Jesus, to die for me. God begins to show us things about our lives when we are in His presence that we need to confess to Him. So why don't we see our sin as we should see it? Why are we not broken? Because we are not in His presence. We're just too busy for His presence. We might even think we are too holy for that presence. Because of our shallow vision of God, we confess only our little petty sins before God. We just kind of skim the surface of our sins in our life, and we don't get broken before God. We view ourselves as some righteous person when really deep in our heart, that's what Isaiah was. Isaiah not a good man? Yes. Was he not a godly man? Yes. But when he came into the presence of a holy God, he said, woe is me. He said, my sin in light of God's righteousness is wickedness. Folks, when our vision of God grows greater and greater, and that's as we get alone with Him in prayer, and we get alone with God in His Word, and God reveals Himself to us through His Word, and as we begin to see God for who He is, high, holy, and lifted up, we see the things in our lives that must be confessed and forsaken. We see what we really are. And it brings us to a place of brokenness. Brokenness, number one, is seeing one's sin in the right view. It is seeing the wickedness of our sin and responding with confession. Young people, did you know that your response to God is your responsibility? Do we all know tonight that my response to God is my personal responsibility? And when God shows us what we really are, when God reveals to us our sin, we must confess. In fact, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, and it's a beautiful word, it literally means to say the same thing that God says about my sin. True confession is painfully honest, and it's without any attempt to justify or to rationalize our sin. It is brokenness before God. Listen, you study the lives of the great men and women of years gone by, and I'm going to tell you something. You will always find about them, they had the right view of their sin before God. They were broken. I believe that brokenness often leads to brokenness. I have seen brokenness in a teen group where I've seen it in my own teen group years ago when I was a youth pastor. And I remember one day and God began to work. And I remember after the service was over, a young man came up and began to confess to the teen group. It was appropriate. It was right. But his confession was real. It was genuine. And he began to get things right with the teen group and right with his parents. And I mean, it was a blessing. And can I tell you what happened? Other teens began to break. Because brokenness often leads to other brokenness. And one's person's honesty before God often encourages others to yield to the Lord. Brokenness is the right view of one's sin. Number two, brokenness is repentance of one's stubborn will. We'll go back, if you would please, to Psalm chapter number 51. And I want to show you David here. H.A. Ironside said this. He said, God is not looking for brilliant men, is not depending upon eloquent or talented men. God is looking for the broken men who have judged themselves in the light of the cross of Christ. When he wants anything done, he takes up men who have come to the end of themselves, whose confidence is not in themselves, but in God. I want you to know something, young person, tonight, if you have a heart for God, and the very theme of this conference, as Pastor Damon preached on this morning about Proverbs chapter 4, and to keep thy heart with all diligence. But the very theme of this conference is about our heart. And you know something, I believe that brokenness is the key. It's that key to having a heart that is tender and right before the Lord. And tonight, if you have a broken heart, a broken and a contrite heart before God, you see your sin in the right way, in the light of God's righteousness. And tonight, if you repent of your stubborn will, I'm going to tell you something. God will find you tonight, and you will know the blessing of brokenness. He'll find you. David was overlooked by everyone, but God found him because David knew what it was for the blessing of brokenness. Psalm chapter 51, we pick back up in verse number 5. And David says this. He says, behold, I was shapen. Psalm chapter 51, verse 5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity. And in sin did my mother conceive me. Now, David is not saying that it was sin that his mother gave birth to him or conceived him. But David is pointing out the fact that David was brought into this world a sinner and with a stubborn will before God. He reads on in verse number 6. He says, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. David here, it says, God, you desire truth in the inward parts. Truth. It's easy to hide. It's easy to conceal. You know something, when we think about our stubborn will, I remember when my youngest son, who's here with me tonight, is in eighth grade, but I'll never forget when he was 5 years of age. I told him to do something one day, and my son looked at me, 5 years of age. Let me just tell you something. He was very Christian about the thing, all right? I just want you to know that right now. But he looked at me, very kind, very courteous, and he said, "Daddy, please don't tell me what to do." That's what he told me that day. And I thought to myself, I don't know how to handle this, you know? And of course, we did handle that. But you know something? When I left dealing with my son that day, the Spirit of God said, "How many times have you done that to me? Lord, thank you for saving me, but don't tell me what to do. Lord, I love you, but don't tell me what to do. Lord, I'll do anything for you, but Lord, just don't tell me what to do." And really, that is the spirit of many Christians. It's the spirit of good Christians. They call themselves good, dedicated Christians, but their will is not broken before God. It's just not broken. They say, "I'll do anything what the Lord wants me to do," but it's not there. That spirit, David talks about a free spirit with the Lord. "Created me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Parents, you know what it is when your children's spirit is not right with you, and there is a hindrance there. There is broken fellowship. Their will is not broken, but before God, when we have a broken spirit, we are yielding to the Lord. How important is our stubborn will? Let's take our Bibles, if you would please, and go to 1 Samuel chapter number 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15. I believe that so often we almost pride ourselves in our ability to be unbroken. Now please know tonight that brokenness is never weakness. Brokenness is never just rolling over. It is never that sense of where we just don't care. That is not what brokenness is. Folks, brokenness is coming to the end of one's self-life. The self, we want to be taken care of. We want to be appreciated. We want to find comfort. Self is so strong in so many of us. When I was in Bible college, I had the privilege to travel for 2 years with a team called Neighborhood Bible Time. Many of you have heard of them. And I remember going to Boulder, Colorado. I was from Knoxville, Tennessee. I never had really been out of Tennessee, you know. That was a change for me to go to Colorado there. And I remember I found myself one day in this area with all these other guys. And we were doing the craziest things that you've ever heard of in your life. The booster cheer, it's just crazy. I'm going to just tell you that right now. And I mean, I remember he broke up the guys, and half of us were dogs and half of us were cats. And the dogs were to chase the cats around the floor. And I thought, "Lord, I'm a preacher. What am I doing here?" You know? But can I tell you what he was trying to do? Break that self-will, that image. We want to look good. We want people to think well of us. But it must be broken. And you see, brokenness is the right view of our sin before God. But brokenness is repentance over our stubborn will. I remember coming to the altar and saying, "God, forgive me of my stubborn will before you." You know what? Sometimes we say, "God, I can't." Really, that means I won't. "God, I can't do that." No, really what we're saying is, "I won't do it." We come to 1 Samuel chapter number 15, and you know the story here. You know that God has chosen Saul to be the king. And folks, let's understand that I believe that Saul was chosen by God. And I believe that there was something that God saw in his heart and life. In fact, we come to 1 Samuel chapter 15, And I want you to know verse number 17. Let's begin there. Now, before we read, let me lay a little background. Saul is the king, and Saul has been commanded by God to go in and to kill all of the Amalekites, all of the animals, everything. Kill it, destroy it. It was a clear command by God. But you know the story. Saul, he kept back the best of the sheep and the lambs and all of those different things, and he did not kill the king of Amalek. Look, let's pick up in 1 Samuel 15 and verse number 17. And Samuel said, "When Thou wast little in thine own sight. Wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Verse 19, wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, I've said this many times in my heart to God, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, and by the way, we're going to hear what Samuel said. It sounds very familiar to what David said in Psalm 51. And Samuel said in verse 22, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Do you understand that what Saul did, we might think in our mind, I remember as a young person reading this and thinking, Lord, it's pretty hard on this man. I mean, he did a pretty good job. I mean, yes, he kept back Agag, and yes, he kept back, but he said the people did it. But no, in Saul's heart was a stubbornness before God. And Samuel recognized the stubbornness, and he says, stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Young person, tonight, your unbroken will before God is wicked in His sight. Your stubbornness before God, we may say, well, that's just my personality, but it is sin in the eyes of a holy God. That stubbornness is wicked. It is wretched. It is something that is keeping you from being all that God has saved you to be. Because brokenness is repentance over our stubborn will. Folks, brokenness is a life of absolute surrender to God. It is saying to God, not my will, but thine be done. It is a life that self-will has been shattered so that the fragrance of Christ is released from our life. You know something, it's amazing to me. You can be around a young person just for a short period of time, and they put off a fragrance. I'm not talking about body odor, all right? And Brother Ramus, I don't think my life will ever be changed after that Aussie little thing you gave, all right? I woke up thinking about it this morning, you know? It changed my life, I'm just telling you, you know? But you can be around young people for a short period of time, and they put off a fragrance. A fragrance of rebellion or a fragrance of submission and surrender. You can be around them. You can see it. It's almost like it's there. You know why it is released? Because, listen, that self-will becomes so strong and we resist God. We resist His way, and there's things we don't want to give up before God. And Lord, I'll give anything, but I'm not giving that up. Lord, I'm not surrendering that, and I'm not going to go that far. We are not broken. You see, so often we're scared. There's a fear about being broken before God, but it is the way, a blessing to be broken before the Lord. You see, this may involve giving up a relationship that is not God's will. It may involve giving up an ambition, a life's ambition that may not be God's will. Brokenness brings us to the realization that we are weak and we will always be weak. But we are trusting in the Lord and we yield to His will. True brokenness says this, God, I give this sin up. I do not reserve the right to ever take it up again
But God, this is beyond me, and I need your supernatural help. That's brokenness. Where are the men tonight that will be broken before God? Where are the young ladies tonight that will humble themselves? Well, it's not a downcast, dejected life. It's not walking around with a somber look. No, it's joy. It is freedom. It is liberty in Christ, because you're broken before the Lord. A broken believer surrenders his or her will as he surrenders to Christ's will. And he surrenders up his own strength as he surrenders to Christ's strength. This is brokenness. You see, broken young people stop saying no to the Lord. They stop saying no to their parents. They stop saying no to what God is leading them to do. They are broken before God. I remember after I came to know the Lord as my Savior, well, I tell you, God began to work in my heart. And I remember sitting in a conference, much like a conference like this in Knoxville, Tennessee. I was sitting in the far back, not because of my choice, but I had been working as a senior in high school, and I got there late, and I remember I came in, and I wanted God to meet with me. And I remember in that service, as the preacher was preaching, it was almost as if the Lord just kind of came near to me that moment. And there was always a decision to be made, a decision to yield or a decision to resist. A decision to say, yes, Lord, yes, I yield to you. Yes, Lord. And I remember in that service, I came forward. And nobody could help me because the aisles were packed. And I found a place about halfway up. And I'll never forget that day, getting on my face before God. And I said, God, I yield to preach. I yield. And I'm going to be honest with you. If you knew me then, you'd say that's a bad idea back in then, you know. I remember thinking, Lord, I can't do this. But the Lord dealt with me that night and said, son, you won't do this. And I remember that night saying, Lord, I yield to you. I don't know. I don't have all the answers. But God, I surrender to you. And let me tell you something. That night, there was a peace. There was a blessing in my soul. I didn't have all the answers. I didn't have it figured out. But I knew that I had yielded to the Lord. And that's where God wants each and every one of us tonight. No matter your age and no matter your journey in your life, there is a brokenness that God is working to bring us to. Will you yield? Will you surrender to the Lord? Will you say, Lord, I want the right view of my sin. It is wicked in your eyes. And God, I repent of my stubborn will. Number three tonight, the last thing. Brokenness is also a return to God's presence. Let's take our Bibles and go back to Psalm. But let's go to Psalm chapter 34 before we return to Psalm chapter number 51. Now brokenness, we must understand something tonight, that brokenness is not a self-focus. Brokenness is not good at looking inward. Brokenness is looking upward. Brokenness is saying, Lord, I need you. Lord, forgive me, cleanse me. And Lord, I yield my will to you, but Lord, I can't do this without you, so I look to you. That's brokenness. Brokenness is a return to the presence of God. It is a nearness to the Lord. It is God, Lord, I know who I am. I see it from the scriptures. But God, I know my will is so stubborn, but I yield to you. You see, brokenness is a choice that you and I make daily. You may say, well, that person's just naturally a yielded person. No, folks, may I tell you, every one of us is a rebel in our heart before God. You might be passive about your rebelness, but we're a rebel. Psalm chapter 34, David wrote this psalm. And we find what David says in Psalm chapter 34 as David is... Oh, I'd love to almost read the whole chapter tonight, but I want you to see what the Lord says. Let's begin in verse number 8 of Psalm chapter number 34. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Can I stop and say, folks, Why won't you surrender to the Lord? Why won't you yield to Him? He is good. He knows what is best. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste, come, yield to Him. He'll bless you. You'll know blessing like you've never known it before. Verse 9, O fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. There, the psalmist is talking about our sin in the eyes of the Lord, to fear the Lord. He has a right view of one's sin. The Bible says in verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Now notice verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Now, I want you to understand tonight that I have used that verse, and I believe that we can apply that, that when our heart is grieving and our heart in many ways we have troubles, that the Lord is nigh unto us. But can I tell you that the actual interpretation of this verse is that the Lord is near a person that has that broken heart. He saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. The Lord's presence is there. And when we see our sin, the correct view of our sin and the righteousness of God, and when we humble ourselves and we repent of our stubborn will, can I tell you what happens? We know His nearness like never before. You see, brokenness is a return to God's presence. I'll just say this to you tonight. There is nothing like being in His presence. There's just nothing like it. There's just nothing like being alone with God. There's nothing like knowing that you are seeking His face. There's nothing like knowing that His love and His mercy and His kindness and His grace we taste and see that the Lord is good, and we recognize His grace to us. There's nothing like it. But many of you do not know that blessing because you've not been broken. Folks, brokenness depends on God to forgive. It depends on God to cleanse. It depends on God to restore, to fellowship. You see, when a broken believer comes before the Lord, he says, God, I come to you by faith, and I come to you in humility. And you know what the Lord does? He cleans him up. He restores him. He washes him. There is amazing work that God does when we are broken. And I've got news for you tonight. God never refuses broken people. In fact, back to Psalm chapter 51, and I want you to see this. Remember what David said. Psalm chapter number 51, verse 16. For thou desirest not sacrifice. Do you know what we are more quick to do, and that is to sacrifice for the Lord than to be broken before the Lord? Lord, I'll take a class. Lord, I'll start this. Lord, I'll do more of this. I'll work harder, God. But David said, no, I've done that. David said, I walked. Most commentators believe David lived a year in unconfessed sin. And David said, I know what it is. And I did more and more. But thou desirest not sacrifice. Young people, the Lord doesn't want something from you. He wants you. And when He has you, He'll have everything. You see, it is coming back into a right view of self. It is you and God. That's what the message is tonight. Brokenness is you and God. It is coming into His presence. It is understanding His righteousness and His holiness. And we confess to God. We agree with God of what we are in light of His holiness. But it's yielding. David goes on to say, verse 16, "For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." So often we have the wrong view of God. And we think, "Oh Lord, He won't forgive me. I've done too much. My Lord, He knows who I am. I can't come before Him." But the Bible says that if you come to Him in true humility, and if you come to Him in brokenness, He will not despise you, and instead, He will bring the blessing. Years ago, I was in Cracker Barrel with a missionary family that we support in our church. And I thank the Lord for children, and they had quite a few children, and we just had a great time with them. I remember that day in particular. To me, one of the best things about Cracker Barrel is the toys in the corner. You know, that's one of the best things about it. Candy and all that. And I told those kids, I said, "Hey, look, when we get done eating here, I'm going to take you over there, and I'm going to let you pick something out. I'm going to buy it for you." Those kids ate faster than you ever seen them eat in their whole life, you know? Well, they just brought it in. They said, "Pastor, we're done." So we went over there, and one little boy, he was the oldest, probably six, seven years of age. And he said, "Pastor, what do you want us to pick?" I said, "Hey, you pick anything you want to pick." And you know, the parents were right there, and they were ruining everything. You know, they're like, "Hey, you don't pick something too expensive, you know, and all that." And that boy was pretty smart, but I liked it. He came over to me, and he'd finally found two gifts. He was trying to pick which one. One of them was not very expensive. The other one was very expensive. And he looked at me and he said, "Pastor, which one do you think I should get?" That boy knew. I said, "Buddy, I think you ought to get that one." He said, "Me too, Pastor." And he looked at his mom and dad and just smiled just a little bit, you know. Well, I'm going to be honest with you. When we come to God, and when we let God choose for us, He always gives the best to those who leave the choice to Him. You hold on to your life, I'm going to tell you something, you'll ruin it. You save your life, the Bible says, you'll lose it. You try to protect it. I just can't trust God with this. I've got to make something out of my life. I've got to have joy and happiness. And I've got to do something. But a broken teen dies to their ambition. They die to their own self-will. They die to their rights. They die to all of that. And they say, "God, what do you want me to do?" And I'm going to tell you something. The Lord, He will never fail you. He is a gracious God. And tonight, can I tell you something? If you knew, young person, how much He loved you, if you knew how much you were on His mind this very moment in this service right now, you would rush to Him and say, "Lord, I surrender everything to You." Because it is the blessing of brokenness. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Our Father in heaven, Lord, I thank You for Your love to us. I thank You that You work in our hearts. I thank You, God, that You're forgiving and cleansing. But tonight, would You bring revival to us personally and help us to yield to You this evening?